pleasure to welcome my good friend and statesman, a man of tremendous courage and wisdom, IQ Al-Rasuli. He is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. To the program, IQ, something happened day before yesterday that I devoted most of my program to that I never thought I would ever see. Donald Rumsfeld said, let me quote some of his statements. Rumsfeld said that it may take decades to combat Islamic fundamentalism. Have you ever heard anyone who's ever been in a high position with any country, much less the United States, combine Islamic and fundamentalism?
Only Muslims.
Yeah, Muslims do. They call themselves Salaf if they're fundamentalists, correct?
Absolutely.
What does Salaf mean for our listeners?
The companion of Muhammad.
Yeah. Now, the Salafis, the companions of Muhammad, the Salaf, which is to be a fundamentalist Muslim, and that's the term that they use all the time describing themselves. Do we have any record of what the companions of Muhammad did and said?
Yes, in the Hadith.
There we go. Is there any other source other than the Hadith?
No.
So if you were a Salafist Muslim, you're paying attention to the words and deeds of Muhammad and his companions as they were articulated by Muhammad's companions in the Hadith.
Absolutely. There's no other source.
Okay. And does the Hadith show Muhammad to be a pedophile and rapist?
It shows him that he is a despicable, or in fact, the most despicable bipedal creature that ever walked the face of this earth.
Yeah, he is. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was a mass murderer. He was sadistic. He was an avowed liar. He was a kidnapper. He was a slave trader. He was a sexually perverted. And that's what how the hadith that are brought to us by Muhammad's companions present this man.
Absolutely. He was a coward on top of it.
Yeah. They don't ever show him doing anything redeeming or good.
Never. Well, never. In 30 years of research, I have tried to find something redeeming about Muhammad and Islam. And
yeah.
I promise you I couldn't find.
I haven't found anything either. All right, so they call themselves Salafists, which is equivalent to us calling them fundamentalists. Would you think that you would ever hear a person, Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense for the United States of America. He is no longer holds office. But you think that any American politician would ever admit that the problem is fundamentalist Islam?
Well, I haven't heard, except now, as you said, with Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah. It's what we have been saying for a decade now, for more than a decade now, that the problem is fundamentalist Islam. It's Islam as it was lived and spoken by Muhammad and his companions. But he used the term fundamentalist Islam.
2001, we've been telling them.
Yeah. Now, he went on to say that it is incumbent upon Western leaders to explicitly point out the nature of the threat.
Absolutely.
Now, he just said the threat is fundamentalist Islam, and now he said it is incumbent upon Western leaders to explicitly point out the nature of the threat. If I use the word to be explicit, what does that mean to you?
To make it clear. You're absolutely clear.
Yeah, and if you're going to make it clear and you're going to be explicit, what tools are you going to use to make it clear?
Use the hadith.
Yeah. And you're going to use words, right? You're going to cite the Quran and hadith.
Sources. Yeah, these are the sources we have.
Right. To make it clear, you're going to write Lifting the Veil or Prophet of Doom.
Correct.
And you're going to expose and condemn the nature of the threat, which is fundamentalist Islam, using words, are you not?
Absolutely right.
So here is a former leader of the United States saying the threat is fundamentalist Islam. Not radical Islam, not extremist Islam, but fundamentalist Islam, the very core nature of the religion. The religion as it was conceived by Muhammad, as it's articulated in the Quran, that is the threat, and it's incumbent on Western leaders to say so, explicitly say so.
Yes, but ISIS is doing exactly what Rumsfeld is talking about.
That's true.
They are fundamentalists. That's exactly what they're doing.
Right. Does the Islamic State ever cite any book other than the Quran? Yeah,
well, they're repeating what Muhammad was doing.
Correct.
By letter, not even word by word, letter by letter.
Right. Now, he said the movement for a caliphate, the movement against nation states, is central and fundamental. And no one is talking about it. Well, there is a difference between a caliphate and a nation state. And what is that difference, IQ?
Well, a nation state usually belongs to a certain group of people. A caliphate will cover the whole earth.
Right. Well, that's part of it. But beyond that, isn't a nation state a political entity where the caliphate is purely and wholly a religious entity?
Yes, if you're separating them from secular, yes, completely.
Yes.
Yes, it's religious.
Yeah. So what he's saying is at the very core of the problem is this is a move away from that which is secular to that which is wholly and completely religious and one religion, Islam.
Sharia.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Sharia.
Correct. By the way, aren't about 80% of Muslim Sunnis?
I would say 85%, but we're not going to quibble, yeah.
Okay, all right. And what does Sunni mean?
Sunni means to follow the Sunnah, which
right.
is what Muhammad used to do.
Right.
What he believed, whom he hated, how he loved. So
right.
he didn't love anybody, but
right.
how he murdered people, how he raped
mm-hmm.
people, yes, that's Sunnah.
The Sunnah is the example of Muhammad both in words and deeds, correct?
Absolutely correct, 100%.
There's nothing more to Sunnah than the words and deeds of Muhammad.
None.
And so to be a Sunni Muslim, you're following the words and deeds of Muhammad, and they are only presented in the Hadith. Unless you view the Quran as you and I do, which is the words of Muhammad, in which you could also include it. And they are wholly and completely reprehensible.
Absolutely. It's not negotiable. What you're talking about, what I talk about, are not negotiable. These are the facts. If somebody wants to deny them, that's another story. But these are the facts. And the irony of it is this. Every single Islamic entity, whether it's Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, Hamas, Hezbollah, you name them, they're doing exactly what Muhammad used to do. This
Correct.
Is fundamentalism. This
right.
is the Sunnah. This is Salaf.
Right. In fact, if a Muslim doesn't engage in jihad, which is using weapons of war to kill anyone who does not surrender to Islam, that according to the Quran, they cease to be a Muslim. They become what the Quran calls a hypocrite, and they become the vilest of creatures. And Muhammad, in his Quran, says that Allah wants good jihadist Muslims to kill them so that Allah can torture them in hell.
No question about it. In many, many verses in the Quran, it indicates there is absolutely no doubt that jihad, and only jihad, is the most important pillar of Islam.
So it's impossible to be a Muslim and not be a terrorist.
It is impossible.
If you're not a terrorist, you're not a Muslim according to the Quran's own definition.
According to the Quran, if you're not a jihadi Muslim, you are not a Muslim. That's it.
Right.
Simple.
Simple. And jihad is never, ever in the Quran, ever spoken of in a manner that could be interpreted as a peaceful spiritual struggle, is it?
Well, I have $200,000 to back me up.
Yeah.
Anybody who can prove or show us any sense of spirituality in jihad, I'll pay them $200,000.
Yeah, it's always physical. It's about striving to one's death to kill others in Allah's cause with and ambushing them, laying in wait for them, fooling them, and then butchering them in such a fashion as to warn others that they should not oppose the will of Islam and Allah.
Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 216, it says, Jihad, which is qital fi sabilillah, means fighting in the cause of Allah, is ordained for you Muslims, though you dislike it. And the Quran says, and it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. So jihad is very important. In fact, Bukhari Sahih says, in chapter 4, verse 50, it says, the Prophet said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause qital fi sabilillah jihad is better than the world and whatever is in it. What more can I tell you?
You know, it's interesting. The first statement that you quoted was the beginning of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's speech, his last speech, where he gave a sermon on the purpose of the Islamic State and the fact that all Muslims must join him in the Great Jihad. He began by quoting that very passage in the Quran and then quoted 50 more like it.
But he is right. He is literally following the Salaf. He is literally following the fundamentals of Islam. Right. You cannot change that. You know, all the bullcrap coming from all the imams of the whole world put together will not change an iota of what the Quran is telling.
Correct.
They're
now,
only lying.
Yeah, I mean, the Quran clearly says that Muhammad founded Islam as a criminal enterprise to rob others and so that he could satiate his own lust for sex, power, and money. And that is the sole purpose for the religion of Islam.
In fact, this is what the whole Quran is all about.
Right. The eighth surah is the heart of that message. And it makes it incumbent on all Muslims to fight to the death for Muhammad and his wannabe God.
Well, chapter 8, Al-Anfal, says exactly what you are saying. A whole chapter telling the Muslims how to divide the plunder, how to rape the women, how to enslave them, and what to do with the percentages.
Right.
A whole chapter.
Yeah, in fact, it begins by saying that stealing is lawful and good.
That's it.
Stealing is not only lawful in Islam, it's good. You ought to rob for Muhammad. Muhammad, yeah, he wants to benefit.
Yeah, that we have always said to the people who are willing to open their brains or mind, that reading the Quran and Hadith destroys Quran and Hadith. They
right.
self-destruct with their own
right.
words.
Yeah, I found that the single best way to understand Islam and its Quran, to know who Allah is and is not, to know what Muhammad was like and understand what he said, was to put the Quran in chronological order using the Hadith so that it could be set into the context of Muhammad's life. And that, my friend, is the entirety of Prophet of Doom. It is unmistakable.
It is definitely unmistakable.
Now, when we return, I'm going to share with you something else that Donald Rumsfeld said that will resonate with you. It is something that I have been saying now for 15 years. It is something that I think you concur with, but you'll be surprised to have heard Donald Rumsfeld having said it. Here's the next thing, IQ, that the former Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, said. If leaders are unwilling to do it, now that means to explicitly point out the nature of the threat, and that the threat is fundamental, in fact he used the term, combat Islamic fundamentalism. So if leaders aren't willing to do it, with it being explicitly pointing out the nature of the threat of Islamic fundamentalism, why the hell should a guy with a wife and kids in the community put himself at risk? You begin to look at this thing not like a war, but like a Cold War. You're not going to win with bullets. You're in a competition of ideas. The Secretary of Defense of the United States finally came to the conclusion that in a battle against the consequence of fundamentalist Islam and the threat of fundamentalist Islam, you can't win with bullets or bombs. The only way to win is with words wielded wisely. I never thought I'd see that. Never thought I'd hear that. What we've been saying for years. Thank you. We seem to have lost our connection with IQ. IQ? Well, we're going to find out. This is so... Hello, IQ.
No, I agree with him. You
yes?
cannot destroy Islam militarily. You have to destroy Islam ideologically. You've got to prove that Allah is not God. Since Allah
right.
is not God, the Quran is finished.
Right. That is correct. And it's extraordinarily easy to do. If you correctly identify the threat to the world, to all of humanity, is fundamentalist Islam, which Donald Rumsfeld has acknowledged. The threat to all of humanity isn't a radical interpretation of Islam. It's not extremist Islam. It's fundamentalist Islam. It's the very core of the religion and then expose the essence of the religion, the Quran and Hadith, its wannabe prophet and its wannabe God, as perverted and non-existent.
Absolutely. And it is without killing anybody, without
Correct.
Putting anybody in danger.
In fact, it will stop the killings. It will stop the killings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes,
for every Muslim you kill, you manufacture another 1,000 fundamentalists. But if you just stop the killing and you attack the problems related to fundamentalist Islam with words, where you correctly expose and condemn the problem, which is Islam itself, the Quran, the Hadith, Muhammad and Allah, then you'll prevail. Otherwise, you'll make it worse.
Literally, all we need is a debate with the highest authority of Islam, with either yourself or me.
Yeah.
For 1 hour.
Sure.
That's all, literally. We don't need to go to war. We
no.
don't need to spend hundreds of billions of dollars. Not a single American would have to die. We
right.
destroy them.
Islam is so ridiculously foolish, so absolutely false, so wrong in its premise, so wrong in its execution, so perverted in its wannabe prophet, so despicable in its wannabe deity, that Islam, based on the Quran, which is the worst book ever written, is the easiest of man's religions to disprove.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the consequence of Islam, all of the blood that it has shed, all the people's lives that it has ruined, all of the hell that it has perpetrated on humanity, when you get rid of this religion because you've exposed it and condemned it using evidence and reason, you've made the world a vastly better place.
Yeah, but while we are talking like this, while Donald Rumsfeld is telling the truth,
yes.
the Archbishop of Canterbury, the leader of the Anglican Church, was meeting and met with the imam, and they were kumbaya. Now,
oh, yeah.
so stupid. I looked at the imam's face, and I could read his mind. I could read what the imam was thinking of this idiot. He was thinking, the imam, stupid man,
Superman.
Allah is going to win with yeah. creatures stupid as you are.
Speaking of Allah, do you know what kumbaya means?
Not really. I only know what it means in the general term.
Okay. Kum is the Hebrew word to stand. Ba means with or in. And Yah is the familial version of Yahweh's name.
Unbelievable.
So what does kumbaya mean?
So you stand with God.
Stand with Yahweh.
Yes.
You know, if you're standing with Yahweh, you won't put up with the nonsense that is Islam for a second. You would never, if you're standing with Yahweh, accept Allah is God, Muhammad is a prophet, the Quran as inspired.
Correct.
That's what kumbaya means.
Well,
stand with Yahweh.
Thank you.
You know, when we return, IQ, I want to also examine the two other things that Donald Rumsfeld said, although the most profound we have already discussed. But he acknowledged the mistakes that were the invasion of Iraq and the bombing of Libya. We'll be back. IQ, you are an Iraqi, correct?
Yes.
Was Saddam Hussein a bad guy?
He was a bad guy.
Is Iraq better off without Saddam Hussein?
No.
Was there any chance that Iraq, given if Saddam Hussein were killed and Iraqis given the opportunity to vote for their leader, was there any chance they would vote for a government other than one aligned with Iranian Shiites?
If you use it democratically, definitely with Iranian Shiites.
So the result, which is a theocracy in direct association with the mullahs in Iran, was the inevitable conclusion of eliminating Saddam Hussein and trying to install a democracy, correct?
Absolutely. That's what happens in every Muslim country.
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. In fact, it's not just that we knew it was going to happen. We knew that it was impossible for anything else to happen.
But that's what happened in Hamafatek. Hamas take the Gaza.
All right, knowing the way that the Iranian mullahs persecute Sunnis, because they're Shiites, the way that they persecute Sunnis, having some experience witnessing what the Shia militia did to the Sunnis in the midst of the American invasion, what did you expect the Sunnis, the Shias, excuse me, once empowered with American weapons, what did you expect the Shia, once they were given American weapons, to do to the Iraqi Sunnis?
The same they have been doing, to slaughter them.
Right. And when they started slaughtering the Iraqi Sunnis with American weapons, what did you expect the and predict that the Sunnis would do in response?
To die, first of all, to defend themselves, and then to slaughter the Shia.
Okay. And what has happened in Iraq as a result of all of these things and us killing Saddam Hussein and empowering Shia Islam and then giving them all of these weapons?
Well, first and foremost, we have slaughter by both sides. And second of all, Iraq becomes a dysfunctional state. It will not reconstitute itself again, ever.
So, and it's not just that we have a murderous civil war between Sunnis and Shias as a direct result of America being stupid, but the non-combatants, the Christians and the Zoroastrians, they've been slaughtered, haven't they?
And the Yazidis, and everybody else who's not a Muslim of either side, yes, all of them.
Been slaughtered.
Yes.
So think of the hell that we brought on the world because Donald Rumsfeld didn't have the character to stand up when George Bush said, let's go into Iraq, let's depose Saddam Hussein, and let's establish democracy there. He knew it was wrong. He admitted that he knew it was wrong the moment he heard it and didn't have the courage, didn't have the character to stand up and say, no, that won't work. That's stupid. Look at the consequence because... IQ, the moment that we announced we were going to invade Iraq, I stated absolutely, boldly, bluntly, and unequivocally that this would be the consequence, the very things we have witnessed.
Correct, but you keep blaming the United States of America. The United States of America was not the only one. The British helped, the French helped, all of them.
Of course.
They were in chorus. They did the same thing to Libya. Libya, why did they have to remove Gaddafi? There was absolutely no reason to remove Gaddafi. None.
Right, yes. None.
America, France, and Britain decided that you've got to go. And what do we have now? A dysfunctional, murderous state.
And by the way, Rumsfeld, after he said that he recognized that it was unrealistic to attempt to establish democracy in Iraq, and it's not unrealistic, it's impossible. You cannot establish a functioning democracy where choice prevails and enlightened people make decisions that are based on understanding in an Islamic country. It has never happened. It will never happen. But beyond that, he said that it was a colossal mistake to bomb Libya.
Yes. People have got to understand Islam and democracy are the nemesis of each other. Islam is the nemesis of democracy. To talk about freedom and democracy under Islam is an oxymoron. It's bullcrap.
Every Islamic scholar throughout time, without exception, every Islamic scholar, every noteworthy Islamic imam throughout time has written about and preached about that in Islam there can never be democracy because democracy is opposed to the will of Allah. Everyone, without exception.
Yes, but this is exactly what fundamentalist Islam is all about. This is the core of Islam. This, had it been difficult to understand, I would have said, okay, it's difficult. But it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Islam self-destructs. Why?
Right.
Islam says you cannot have a democracy. Islam says it cannot be freedom of religion with other people. Islam says we must dominate the whole of the earth under Sharia.
Right.
It says it.
Yes, in fact, the Quran says it is not acceptable for you Muslims to have any choice because your religion has been chosen for you by Allah. Allah has the choice, not people. There is no freedom. There's no choice in Islam. Therefore, there can be no democracy. What does the word Islam mean in Arabic?
Submission. And that means to grovel and grovel and grovel to Allah.
When you submit, when you are surrender, are you thereby giving over your free will to another?
Completely, utterly, irrevocably.
So the religion is even named, the hell never going to be Democrats. The religion is named, no way will we ever be Democrats.
Correct. I mean, why is it so difficult for people...
Islam means anti-democracy.
That's what it is. Anti-freedom, not just democracy. Islam anti every freedom imaginable. Why? Women are degraded and used as domestic animals.
Mm-hmm.
Non-Muslims are treated as beasts to be butchered, to be raped,
yeah.
to be slaughtered.
Yeah, by the way, are you familiar with the fifth statement that Yahweh etched in stone? It says value. It says value your father and mother and mother.
Yes.
Now, in Islam, women are devalued, correct? So it's the antithesis of what Yahweh said. Now, the Quran, doesn't it say that the only virtuous deed is to kill in acts of jihad?
Well, why don't we put it simply? Look, Islam contradicts and is opposed to every statement in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Now, there actually aren't commandments. They actually aren't commandments. Only one of the ten was written in the imperative mood. It's the one I just shared with you, which you cannot impose a respect for someone. But the next statement that Yah says you shouldn't make a habit of killing. Isn't jihad making a habit of killing, a whole lifetime of killing?
Yeah, but it's not killing only. It's actually murder.
Well, of course.
It's murder. It's not killing. You can kill in self-defense. No problem. There's no... In fact, in the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not murder.
It doesn't actually say that. That's a myth. I once thought that, too. No, the word that is used for kill is the same word that would be used to convey any form of just killing. What it actually says is, don't make a habit of killing. So it says that if you have killed in self-defense, but you're not making a career of killing, a habit of killing, a lifetime of killing, you're not in conflict with the instruction. It's those who have made a career of killing. If you're in the military and you've made a career out of killing, you're in conflict with the testimony. Yahweh doesn't want us to make a habit of killing because life is worth living. The Quran is, life is not worth living. Allah doesn't give Muslims a reason to live, only a reason to die. It's the opposite.
Right, but forget about what Allah is saying. Every single Muslim will tell you, we Muslims prefer death, while you non-Muslims prefer life. What more
Correct.
Can I tell you? I mean, they say it. Allah doesn't have to say it. They say it.
Right. Yeah, but they've read the same book we've read. They know that Islam is a celebration of death. It is a death cult.
Correct, because after death, in the Islamic tradition, they go to Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, where they will enjoy the 72 virgins. Then they are allowed to drink the wine that are prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
They can have sex with little boys, also prohibited in real life. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Quran says. The sex with little boys is going to be acceptable in the paradise, and the constant rape of little girls who will constantly lose their virginity as they're conquered by these Muslims. And the Quran says, as does Muhammad, that there's only one guaranteed way to make it into the Islamic whorehouse. What is that?
Jihad.
Right. Dying as a jihadist, killing non-Muslims.
In fact, there is nothing in the Quran saying that you can get all these privileges just by being a decent man.
No, of course not.
Only if you are a jihadi Muslim.
Correct. That's exactly right. That's why the religion has to be exposed and condemned with words. It is repulsive. Yeah. It is deadly. It is deceitful. It is destructive. It has ruined everything that it has ever touched. All you have to do is look at the 50-some-odd majority Islamic countries. They're hell on earth.
Each and every one of them is hell on earth.
Yes, everyone.
I mean, They have more wealth than most nations on earth. They have literally more natural resources than the whole of Africa, the whole of Latin America.
You know what I have found, IQ, is that the ultimate litmus test for a culture, for a doctrine, for a political cause, is how they treat women and children, and particularly women. Because if you have in a culture women being abused, being demeaned, being devalued, you typically have a very polluted, malignant, savage, sexually oriented and sexually perverted culture.
Correct.
How are women treated in Islam?
But I also have another litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you treat people who are not the same as you.
Mm. Yeah. Do they have a right to live?
They destroy Christians, they destroy Jews, they destroy Yazidis, they destroy Baha'is, they destroy Buddhists, they destroy anybody who's not a Muslim, and then turn against each other and destroy each other. Islam is the enemy of every human being on the planet.
Yeah, in fact, the first victims of Islam
are Muslims.
And the most current and the most prevalent victims of Islam are Muslims.
Correct.
Look what they have done to themselves. Look at what life is like under the Islamic State. So, yes, we should be opposed to the Islamic State, but we should use our words to express it. IQ, it's one thing for Donald Rumsfeld now, years removed from the invasion of Iraq, to say that nation building in Iraq, trying to establish a democracy, was foolish. But he didn't go so far as to acknowledge the consequence of that, which is the civil war, the Islamic State, the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Iraq, the annihilation of hundreds of thousands of individuals, of tens of thousands of little girls being kidnapped and used as sex slaves. I didn't hear him take responsibility for those 10,000 little girls being raped multiple times a day.
Well,
he should have.
Not a single leader in the West has ever taken responsibility for anything. Not only Donald Rumsfeld. Blair is not taking responsibility, yet Blair has become a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. He has become a billionaire.
Yeah. You know, the same way that the presidents of the United States take their bribes by speaking engagements that are promised while they're in office but not funded until they leave. Did the bombing of Iraq, the breaking of Iraq, all of the killing in Iraq, the invasion of American troops in Iraq, did they make Iraq better or worse?
No, it destroyed Iraq.
Okay.
Not even worse. Completely, utterly destroyed Iraq.
So why is virtually everyone in the U.S. government speaking of and actually calling for the return of U.S. troops to Iraq and continued bombing of Iraq if the troops and the bombing made Iraq worse? Why would we do what made it worse again?
Well, theoretically, they are going now against the IS or ISIS or whatever crap name you want to give.
Yes.
That's theoretically.
But aren't we using now and empowering the same militias that sought to kill Americans when America was there? Are we now providing weapons for them, and are they not giving those weapons to the other side? So that we're arming both sides? How is that making things better?
It won't. I have been saying, like you have been saying, exactly the same thing. It will not succeed. These actions will fail, and they will fail catastrophically. And the enemy is now within Europe and within the United States of America. And it's a matter of a very short period of time, a few more months maybe, a few more weeks before something catastrophic will happen.
Catastrophic.
Europe or America.
Yeah, it's catastrophic.
Catastrophic.
Yeah, something absolutely. I can't tell you if it's going to happen in the next 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years.
No.
But I can tell you that the consequence of what we're doing in this lie about Islam and our willingness to constantly use bullets and bombs as opposed to words wielded wisely, that the consequence of that is going to be so hellacious that it's almost hard for us on this side of the event to comprehend the consequence.
Correct. I agree. But while you're talking about years and years, I'm not talking about years and years. I'm talking about the years.
I know you are.
Yes. Because ISIS, so-called ISIS, is is a state of mind. ISIS is not an entity. ISIS is a belief system. That's
correct.
Why it's spreading all over Muslims.
Correct.
Why?
Correct.
Because it's resonating with fundamentalist Islam.
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact,
you cannot destroy ISIS with bombs.
That's correct. And, you know, something happened in Syria that's gone unreported, and that is that Nusra, which has aligned itself with the Islamic State now, just captured the two largest cities and the two largest bases south of Damascus. They had already controlled all of the area north of Damascus, and all of the area east of Damascus is controlled by the of the Islamic State. And there is no territory west of Damascus other than Israel. So now that Damascus is surrounded, what's going to happen?
Slaughterhouse.
Yes.
They will slaughter every single Shia in Syria, and then they will go to Lebanon and Israel.
Yes.
We are talking about World War III.
Correct. That is correct. It's exactly what Yahweh predicted through Yashaya. In the 17th chapter of Yashaya, it's a delineation of exactly what we're witnessing today, and the fall of Damascus leading to World War III. That's what's going to happen.
Whether it's in the Bible or not, as intelligent human beings who have read Quran and studied Islam, it is not even a negotiable item that the next step is World War III.
Correct. It's just as we predicted everything that is now happening as a consequence,
absolutely,
a horrible consequence of our invasion of Iraq.
Absolutely.
We're now telling you the consequence of us arming both sides in this fight between Shia and Sunni Islam that has formed the Islamic State. Thank you, IQ.